The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now on 960 The Patriot, it's the Middle East Radio Forum. Your chance to talk about the turmoil in the Middle East. Questions are welcome at radioforum at AOL.com. That's radioforum at AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Meir Jolovitz.
Hi, greetings. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to Middle East Radio Forum, the weekly program unafraid to tackle the issues of the day. Ours is the radio and internet broadcast which offers a bold and unapologetic view of Middle East affairs. Every Sunday on Middle East Radio Forum, we recognize and readily identify the struggle between the civilized and the savage, between religious ideologies and cultures, between Western values and those dedicated to upending them. Truth be told, the conflict in the Middle East is not about territories, and somehow solved by simply redrawing some lines in a map. Nor is it about politics as usual, finding a common denominator between different political aspirations. It is between good and evil. Today, 114 days after October 7th, the war in Gaza rages on, as does a second war that Israel must confront. This second war was launched against Israel by Israel's other enemies, its countless adversaries, the media, academia, a litany of international organizations, and so many fraudulent friends of Israel. As for these fraudulent friends, they are anyone and everyone who still supports the notion of a two-state delusion. They are the mental and the moral morons. Sure, what's the answer to the Muslim atrocities, the raped women, the burned children? Well, that's easy. Give the murderers a state of their own on Israel's borders and have the Western world finance it. It is insanity on steroids. It is exhibit one in the case against a decadent modern society. It is exhibit two in the case exposing a new anti-Semitism. Future historians will record that the greatest progress made by the Arab world to establish a Palestinian state, an endeavor that was totally ignored by that same Arab world when it occupied the West Bank and Gaza for 19 years, between 1948 and 1967. The greatest progress was the slaughter of 1,200 Jews, the brutal mass rape of Jewish women, the burning of Jewish babies, and the totally deceitful and counterfeit claim that those perpetrating the genocide were the victims of Israeli aggression. We live in an Orwellian world with too many who are too stupid to call it out. Today, there's no longer reason to deny the obvious. The UN, the Western world, the European Union, and the International Court of Corruption in general, and the United States in particular, are an obstacle to Israel's military success. For nearly 4 months, on Middle East Radio Forum, we've addressed the subject of the war in Gaza and its endless myths and more myths. Today we continue as we address the subject, the Biden-Blinken foreign policy agenda, a case of mass blindness and voluntary self-deception. Sad as it is to admit, the truth is often painful. In the Middle East, it is always painful. In the next 60 minutes, you'll understand why. Middle East Radio Forum is now in its 21st year of broadcasts. Underscoring all of our broadcasts, we continue to warn of the danger of falling prey to the insanity of a world that cannot decide who the good guys are, as apart from the evil savages. We shall also examine how it is that the United States foreign policy, run by a collection of puppeteers and a senile puppet, have suggested that the solution to the conflict in the Middle East is establishing a terror state, Palestine they call it, on Israel's borders, a delusional two-state solution. My name is Mayor Jolovitz. I am pleased to co-host the show with attorney William Wolf, where we're usually featured on alternate Sundays. As you might know, the program can be heard live anywhere in the world on our website, www.MiddleEastRadioForum.com, or at www.960thepatriot.com. And this reminder, our show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at 9 p.m. Arizona time. Today is January 28, 2024. As we continue, I feel compelled to restate a maxim which is not mentioned often enough. If the truth makes you uncomfortable, don't blame the truth. Blame the lie that made you comfortable. Every week on Middle East Radio Forum, we offer the painful truth. And also, a quick personal word. Last Sunday, we greeted many of our regular listeners at the Middle East Radio Forum Listener Dinner. I personally want to thank a number of you who came up, introduced yourselves, and extended warm wishes. Your affiliation as loyal listeners of this program is not taken for granted. Please know that you are very much appreciated. On a previous broadcast, I also introduced the adage called Handlin's Razor. Handlin's Razor states this: never attribute to malice that which is adequately explained by stupidity. Today we shall examine how Israel has been victimized by both the malicious and the stupid. But first, well, you know the routine. We begin the broadcast each week, Middle East Radio Forum. We turn to Yoni Tidi. Yoni, in keeping with the spirit of this program, addresses the issues that often drive the discussion. Yoni, good to have you with us today.
Mayor, good to be here. I will correct one thing. You said that they raped Israeli women on October 7th, and of course they did, but they also raped Israeli men, children, and babies.
That is true.
Yeah, we can never forget how truly evil they are.
The measure of barbarism that hasn't been told would just shock the people almost beyond understanding. But nonetheless, Yoni, good to have you with us.
Yeah. The leadership of Israel has learned nothing. I will repeat, learned nothing from October 7th. In fact, they are criminally ignoring the intelligence and historical facts of Shabbat Shachor, that Black Sabbath, and not the band. Today, Israel time, both the IDF and Israeli police kept families of people still held in Gaza from blocking the aid trucks going into Gaza. Shame on every police officer and soldier that followed the orders to clear out the families. Shame on the leadership that gave the orders, but the officers should go to prison. Later, they did, in fact, let the families demonstrate, but this is getting ridiculous. Speaking of the aid, first, let us remember, at the start of the war, Israel said, no aid until we get all our people back. That didn't last very long because the Quislings and the Knesset and the IDF crumbled. Why did they crumble? Very simply, they're cowards, pure and simple. Second, Israel clearly stated that if aid were to be sent into Gaza, it must not fall into the hands of Hamas. I'm telling you that for weeks, every single truck of aid, when it crosses into Gaza, is taken over in plain view of the IDF and the Shabak by armed Hamas terrorists that climb up on the trucks and direct them where to go. Why isn't the IDF taking these trucks out under tank fire, wiping out the terrorists in the trucks? Blinken, the capo, clearly stated this week that Jewish lives don't matter more than Palestinian lives. Yeah, it's pretty easy to visualize Blinken escorting his fellow Jews into gas chambers 85 years ago, because he is killing our soldiers, and on the next 10-7, our civilians. Blinken, all I ask of Hashem, of God, is to judge you fairly, and may that judgment happen very soon. The last week, a series of articles came out of the security defense sector of Israel, criticizing the government for cutting off funds to the PA. These idiots had a position that Israel must pay the PA, the Palestinian Authority, to keep them in our debt. They think that by doing so, it will not be in the best interest of the Palestinian Authority to allow the Palestinians in Judea and Samaria to do their own version of 10-7. Does that sound familiar? It should. It's the same rubbish that Bibi and his friends in the Knesset, IDF, and Shabak have fed us for years about Hamas and Gaza. No, we don't need to pay attention to the intelligence coming from our outpost on Gaza. No, we don't need to listen to the intelligence from Shmoni Matayim, the Israeli NSA. How long are we going to be ruled by these cowards, these capos, these quislings? Then we have the International Criminal Court of Justice. That's a joke. Which proved it is the biggest criminal and their justice cannot be had. Israel had only committed two crimes. First, we are a Jewish state, and second, we've been lazy and stupid as a people to let the criminals that have ruled over us in the Knesset and the IDF rule over us. If the ICJ was around at the time of the Warsaw Ghetto uprising against the Nazis, I am sure they would have found the Jews guilty of genocide. The bright spot in this week was watching reserve soldiers that were coming out of Gaza on Kan 11, Channel 11 in Israel. These guys need to organize into a political entity, take over the Knesset, and then the IDF, the Shabak, the police, and the Mossad can be gutted and reformed. The new mission that the new Israel should take, not one more dead Jew, and we don't care how many Palestinians we have to kill to achieve that victory.
Amen to that. Yoni, the news, never good.
By the way, I did hear, I want to tell you one thing that was shocking. I heard it today. A battalion commander refused to pull his battalion out of Gaza because he knew by pulling out we are going to ultimately lose the war. And it took the deputy chief of staff coming down there to force him to bring his battalion out. We're losing the war.
It actually is true. In the IDF, it's the lower rank fellows who actually think that the war should continue to be prosecuted with much greater strength than it has been demonstrated by its generals. A piece that Caroline Glick wrote about brilliantly, for those of you who want to Google Caroline Glick and generals, a quite accurate and quite disturbing piece that she published yesterday. Yoni, until next week, same time, same station. Thank you so much.
Take care.
And much to talk about today, as I always do, news stories, in a brief analysis after each news story. But by way of background, I want to reach back and read you a news story that is relevant to everything that we will talk about today. I'm going to read you a news story. It was actually an op-ed that was put out by Stephen Flatower, who's been quite prolific in writing about Israeli affairs. He's the father of Elisa Flatower, who was murdered by an Iranian-sponsored Palestinian terrorist attack in 1995. And he's been quite vocal and quite good in talking about the things that need to be spoken about and the painful truth, as we've mentioned. There's a piece that was published on September 17th of 2023. For those of you without a calendar, September 17th, 2023 was 3 weeks before October 7th. The headline, the story, "We were wrong about Arafat," Dennis Ross admits again. The subhead, "For decades, State Department officials, past and present, have been offering bad advice. Years later, they admit that they were wrong." And I'm going to read you a couple of the sentences, quite relevant to what we discussed today. 25 years too late, former U.S. Middle East envoy Dennis Ross has admitted that he and other Clinton administration officials were wrong to refrain from confronting Yasser Arafat's refusal to fight and stop terrorism. It goes on, "Ross's statement is just the latest in a series of too little, too late confessions by U.S. officials that their approach to Israel and the Palestinian Arabs was wrong, very wrong." Here's how Ross recalled this episode, and I quote, "I argued with the Israeli leaders and security officials, telling them that they needed to allow more construction material, including cement, into Gaza so that housing, schools, and basic infrastructure could be built. They counted that Hamas would misuse it, and they were right," end quote. That admission came 5 years too late. Thanks to Ross's pressure, Hamas built a labyrinth of underground tunnels, bunkers, command posts, and shelters for its leaders, fighters, and rockets. As Ross now acknowledges, they built the tunnels with an estimated 600,000 tons of cement that was provided by Israel at the behest of the Western world. It was diverted from construction of materials that they pretended, schools and hospitals and such, to build the shelters, the tunnels that we see today. Mind you, this was written 3 weeks before October 7th. There's another little piece that he includes in a 2010 op-ed in the Washington Post. Miller revealed that it was a State Department official who came up with a plan to have Arafat visit the Holocaust Museum in 1998 in order to help Yasser Arafat improve his public image. There it is again. The United States, this is me speaking, hiding the true nature of the savage. Let's improve his image. Let's send him to a Holocaust museum. And in the article, Aaron David Miller acknowledged that his plan would have meant appropriating the memory of the Holocaust for narrow political purposes and therefore was one of the dumbest ideas in the annals of U.S. foreign policy. That was a comment that he made in the Washington Post, August 18, 2010. And this as well, to end this piece, Ross forgot one inconvenient fact. There's not a single word in the Oslo Accord that prohibits Jewish constructions in the territories, which, by the way, is a condition that the United States says Israel's concessions must lead to a two-state solution. This is insanity. So the United States State Department, no surprise, the President of the United States, no surprise, was in favor, in fact, demanded that Israel send all kinds of supplies, especially cement, to the Arabs to build an infrastructure. And on October 7th, we saw what that led to. Today, we'll talk about that. Commercial break. When we come back, that painful truth.
The authentic Ethiopian restaurant located at 1740 East McDowell in Phoenix is a great change of pace from your ordinary restaurant. Authentic Ethiopian flavors in a comfortable setting will keep you coming back for more. Vegetarian and meat selections will satisfy everyone in your family. You just have to try it for yourself. That's Authentic Ethiopian Restaurant, 1740 East McDowell, telephone 602-252-2286. At Precision Integrative Pain, they have a team of highly qualified licensed providers and staff. Their board-certified physicians and healthcare providers offer same-day appointments when possible and work closely with attorneys and other medical specialists. Dr. Drew Hunter is a highly skilled, double board-certified medical physician who takes his time to offer premium care to his patients. Bilingual services are available. Call 602-688-6884 or visit their website, PIC-AZ.com.
Dassault and Macros are my business and personal CPAs for a good reason. Prompt and accurate work means I trust them with all my accounting needs. Conveniently located just off the 51 freeway at 3519 East Shea Boulevard, Suite 122, give them a call and see what they can do for you. 602-996-8885. That's Dassault and Macros, 602-996-8885.
Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe has terrific sushi, salads, rice and noodle dishes, soup, and even great pasta. On the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback, it will become your favorite Asian restaurant. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum for more than 10 years, it is simply the best place for a great Asian lunch or dinner. That's Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback. Tell them that William Wolf sent you there. Telephone 602-248-9090.
Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning Offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate planning, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 20 years. Founding partner Carmen Saccone has over 40 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities and advisory services are offered through the LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC.
I am William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on the show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914.
You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. Questions are welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Mayor Jolovitz.
Hi. In keeping with what we spoke about right before the commercial, here's a news story that warrants our attention. The story published earlier today by the Wall Street Journal reports that after 114 days of fighting, 80% of Hamas's tunnel system beneath Gaza is still operational. Now, the report suggests that only 20% of the tunnels were actually destroyed fully by the IDF, and possibly an additional 40% were damaged, some, of course, more severely than others, but the rest were left fully intact. Now, understand, it's impossible to know exactly how accurate this report is. After all, when the war began, Israel had estimated that there were no more than 200 miles of tunnels in Gaza. Some thought many less. That number was soon reevaluated to between 350 and 400 miles as Israel moved into Khan Yunis, uncovering more and more of Hamas's underground network. And today, that new projection has it between 450 and 500 miles of underground tunnels. Some of the tunnels have been bombed, of course, while others have been flooded. But Israel has, as you know, met several obstacles, the first being the enormity of the task at hand. Now, that includes having to map the tunnels, checking for booby traps, and, of course, the matter of the hostages. There are political considerations as well, much beyond the hostages. The Biden-Blinken administration has demanded that Israel de-escalate at exactly the same time that Israel is discovering new networks of tunnels that continue to contribute to Hamas's ability to survive. And I remind you, Hamas is only 141 square miles. It's small, so you can imagine the significance of this problem. Finally, and this is the reality that Israel confronts, if it were not for the hostages, Israel would have aggressively destroyed all the infrastructure as it was discovered, and with it, the savages who deserve to be buried alive. August 2005, Israel's unilateral withdrawal from Gaza. Israel, which had taken control of Gaza with the Six-Day War in June of 1967, in August of 2005 relinquished Jewish citizens of Gush Katif and other communities, 24 communities in Gaza, were forcibly removed by the IDF. The IDF left, not one single soldier. Now, I want you to understand the Arab psyche. And there was a great piece that was done into this a program called Under the Dome, Episode 1, which they titled Death from Above. It was a comment that was made by Ashraf El-Ajami, who's a Gaza resident and a spokesman for the Gazans, the Palestinians. This is what he said. For Hamas, he was talking about August of 2005, Israel's unilateral disengagement with no quid pro quo. This is what he said. For Hamas, it was a great victory, especially since Hamas could tell the Palestinians, to the people, to the whole Palestinian populace, that it made Israel withdraw from Gaza unilaterally with nothing gained by Israel and no conditions attached. This gave Hamas the right to say that Israel only understands force, meaning you attack them, you give them something, you don't attack them, they give you nothing. Incredible. The Arab mind quite brazenly says, if you attack Israel, they will make concessions. If you don't attack Israel, they will give you nothing. And that, of course, became and remains their policy. I want to repeat something that I did a couple of years ago, I think, here. George Orwell, in a series of lectures that were written between 1943 and 1947, articles that appeared in a column with his name titled As I Please. It appeared in the left-wing British newspaper Tribune. George Orwell wrote the following on August 4th, 1944. Now, obviously, August 4th, 1944, George Orwell was writing about the Nazis. This is what he wrote. By shooting at the enemy, you are not in the deepest sense wronging him, but by hating him, by inventing lies about him, and bringing children up to believe them, by clamoring for unjust peace terms which make further wars inevitable, you are striking not only at one perishable generation, but at humanity itself. That's George Orwell describing the Nazi mentality. Well, October 7th was the very proof that Orwell's description of the German Nazis in 1944 is the perfect description of the Hamas Nazis today. Post-October 7th, even the blind can see it. This clash between the civilized and the savage, between democracies and despots, between the moral and the immoral, between the Jews and the purveyors of genocide. Yes, even the blind can see the dehumanization of the virtues and values that once meant something to all freedom-loving people. As I mentioned before, there are two wars going on, a kinetic war and a war of ideas. In the war in Gaza, it's a war between Israel, the nation, and the people who helped civilize the world, and a jihadi genocidal ideology that is, as Orwell referenced, an assault against humanity itself. Theirs is a religious ideology that is, in reality, the antithesis of anything that defines a civilized world. And yet, even in the United States Congress, Democrats, led by the Squad, have offered a perverse empathy for Hamas's anti-Israel doctrine, and shamelessly and axiomatically, it cooperates in perpetuating a pathological psychosis. And all over the world, as if October 7th had happened at another time and on another planet, we have the whole world calling for a two-state solution. It is a perversion that ought to separate the sane from the insane. It is no less an indictment of an anti-Semitic world, and we here at Middle East Radio Forum are not afraid to expose it. I'm going to talk about the two-state solution, or as you know, I often refer to the two-state illusion, this two-state delusion. And it always comes down to one thing. It's a quote that you've heard me state before. This was in January. That's this month, during his visit to the Middle East, his fourth. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said the following: the only way to peace is a pathway to a Palestinian state, and Israel must stop taking steps that undercut Palestinians' ability to govern themselves effectively. Well, since Israel withdrew in August of 2005, the Palestinians in Gaza have, in fact, been governing themselves effectively. They voted for Hamas. They supported Hamas to the tune of 87% of the population, 98% of whom said that they were proud after October 7th. And all of a sudden, this Palestinian voice, Blinken suggests, needs to lead Gaza. But he says it should be the Palestinian Authority, whose politics, by the way, are exactly compatible, parallel to that of Hamas. When we come back from the commercial break, we're going to talk about that, the insanity of allowing a Palestinian Authority to have any say in any future that surrounds Israel. We'll be right back. Tokyo Express, next to Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback, has been serving great food since 1982. A fast food Japanese restaurant at a reasonable price. Take out or sit in and enjoy. Either way, you'll be back for more. That's Tokyo Express on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback in Phoenix. Telephone 602-277-4666. Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning Offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate planning, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 20 years. Founding partner Carmen Saccone has over 40 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities and advisory services are offered through the LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC.
Veggie Village, the best vegan restaurant in Arizona, has a second location, still at 1255 East Northern, now also at 15577 North Hayden Road, Suite C103 in Scottsdale. Chicken, beef, calamari, shrimp, and more, all made out of plants, all a delight to their taste buds. You just have to try it for yourself. Not open on Sunday on Northern, but open 7 days in Scottsdale. Give them a try and you will be back for more. Thanks for listening to Middle East Radio Forum. I am your host and creator of the show, Attorney William Wolf. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association and have been in practice since 1971. I handle injury and wrongful death claims and do go to court if necessary to achieve the best possible results for all my clients. It is often impossible to achieve full value if your attorney does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. The high-volume, impersonal TV and billboard attorneys do not have that reputation. The insurance companies know who is willing to work for full value and adjust their settlement offers accordingly. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. My phone is 602-279-1914. I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. Questions are welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Mayor Jolovitz.
Hi. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us. Johann Wolfgang Goethe was a German writer, widely regarded as the greatest and most influential writer, perhaps in the German language. His work has had a profound influence on Western political and philosophical thought since the 18th century and certainly till today. Joseph Heller, the writer, here's a big quote: "Insanity is contagious." Well, apparently he was in concert with Goethe, who said, "We do not have to visit a madhouse to find disordered minds. Our planet is the mental institution of the universe." And with that in mind, I'm going to repeat what I did before the commercial break. Secretary of State Blinken: "The only way to peace is a pathway to a Palestinian state, and Israel must stop taking steps that undercut Palestinians' ability to govern themselves effectively." That little bit of insanity was actually echoed this month, after October 7th. Has anything been learned of the lessons of history? Asked and answered. Allow me this brief but necessary comment about the insanity that does surround us. Fact. American foreign policy under the umbrella of the Biden administration, the genius of Joe Biden, Blinken, Jake Sullivan, and Lloyd Austin, the architects of a humiliating defeat that we've spoken about in the past, the United States and Afghanistan, where the American superpower was defeated by a group of Islamic cavemen, where the United States military left behind $85 billion worth of arms. Yes, those same military geniuses who are being humiliated by a different tribe of cavemen, the Houthis, today. Three soldiers, American killed today, 25 injured by the Iranians. The one today was in Jordan. The Iranians are killing Americans, and the Americans are saying that they'll pick the time and the place when they're going to respond. These American foreign policy imbeciles know nothing of war. And I'll remind you that the United States has not won a war in 80 years. And they certainly know nothing of Islam. Let's let them dictate to Israel how to prosecute a war. Almost from the start of the military campaign by Israel into Gaza, the Biden administration has demanded that Israel turn over control of Gaza to the Palestinian Authority, the same Palestinian Authority that supported wholeheartedly and still celebrates the massacre of October 7th. In fact, it's the same Palestinian Authority that actually tried to take credit for having perpetrated the slaughter, the same Palestinian Authority that has a pay-for-slave program that is financed through American and European dollars, the same Palestinian Authority which, while denying the Holocaust, continues to call for Israel's demise. Yes, let's let this murderous organization, the Palestinian Authority, control Gaza. And driving the politics to get the PA to govern Gaza is, of course, Team Biden. Blinken, Sullivan, Austin. They are the pack of clowns, buffoons, who know not what to do. And as I said in a previous show, with apologies to Winston Churchill, we offer this. Never in the field of human conduct have so many ignoramuses done so little and disappointed so many. Israel needs to defend itself, and it does not need a group of clowns to dictate how that's done. It's truly remarkable. Let me say something about the tragic case of the hostages, by the way, in Gaza. There's something happening in Israel that's a factor that many people don't understand as Israel prosecutes this war. Many families of the hostages are protesting against the Bibi Netanyahu government, demanding that Israel do whatever it must to secure the release of the hostages, including releasing many or all of the terrorists beheld in Israeli prisons, including releasing the Hamas terrorists who've actually been captured, those who helped perpetrate the massacre of October 7th. Other families of hostages are also protesting, but something different. They're protesting the humanitarian aid that is being shipped to Gaza, food, fuels, and other supplies. It's inconceivable that aid is being sent to Gaza, most of which is confiscated by Hamas and well-known, while Jews are suffering the tragic fate. And finally, there's a different philosophical and moral issue. I pose the matter somewhat rhetorically. How many soldiers are you willing to lose to free the hostages? Do you lose 500 in order to save 100? Do you lose 700, knowing that you will not save them all? This final comment, a tragic admission that must be stated. Anyone who believes that the Hamas hostages, that all of them will be released ever in the future, are truly naive. It isn't going to happen. Israel has tried to secure the release of the bodies of two soldiers who fell in Gaza 2014. Their bones, in Operation Protective Edge, Oren Shaul and Hadar Golden, unsuccessfully. And the last question, why in the world did Israel ever provide food, water, electricity, and supplies to Gaza after 2014 without first securing the release of these two bodies? Why were Gazans allowed to enter and be treated in Israeli hospitals while Hamas refused to release Jewish bones? I ask, I'll answer, because Israel is insane, because Israel surrenders to international pressures, because Israel believes it is doing the moral thing. It is not. It is immoral. The only moral thing to do is to destroy Gaza. Commercial break.
If you need heart surgery, do you choose your surgeon from an ad on TV or a billboard? Of course not. Choosing your accident attorney also should not be done so casually and without thought. I'm William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on this show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914. No charge for our first meeting, and I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. That's 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and working to achieve the best possible results for your injury claim.
Shuttleman Physical Medicine, Chiropractic, and Acupuncture is your go-to medical office in the West Valley. Call 623-214-7600. That's 623-214-7600. With two offices to serve you, there is no reason to stay in pain when Dr. Shuttleman may be able to help you. Call 623-214-7600 for Shuttleman Physical Medicine, Chiropractic, and Acupuncture.
Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
Thanks for listening to Middle East Radio Forum. I am your host and creator of the show, Attorney William Wolf. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association and have been in practice since 1971. I handle injury and wrongful death claims and do go to court if necessary to achieve the best possible results for all my clients. It is often impossible to achieve full value if your attorney does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. The high-volume, impersonal TV and billboard attorneys do not have that reputation. The insurance companies know who is willing to work for full value and adjust their settlement offers accordingly. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. My phone is 602-279-1914. I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. Questions are welcome at radioforum at AOL.com. That's radioforum at AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Mayor Jolovitz.
Hi, thank you. Last segment. I'm going to begin again. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken. The only way to peace is a pathway to a Palestinian state. And Israel must stop taking steps to undercut the Palestinians' ability to govern themselves effectively. Insanity. Let me talk about something that nobody talks about, not even the advocates of a strong and secure Israel. Shame on them. So I will. The most important document, once and still, in understanding the mind, the politics, the philosophy of the Palestinian Authority and Fatah, same thing, symbiotic link, its military arm, is to understand the PLO covenant. Now, during the past few years, on previous broadcasts, while making our case, we've several times cited the PLO charter, a document that the Palestinian leadership refers to as its covenant. The almost religious reverence of a covenant is owed to an otherwise immutable goal, the elimination of the State of Israel. First established in 1964, that charter was amended ever so slightly in the post-Six-Day War days in 1968. The PLO Covenant contains 33 articles, some which call for the eradication of Israel explicitly, and yet others which call for its demise implicitly. These days, one hardly hears any discussion of the PLO Charter or its covenant. And as I said, even the strongest advocates of Israel, its supporters, in Israel and elsewhere, seem to have forgotten about the most telling document that defines the Arabs and their war against Israel. I can guarantee you that in Biden's visit to the Middle East, neither he nor his foreign policy puppeteers mentioned the PLO Charter at all. And neither did the Israelis, and certainly not the Palestinian Arabs. Not surprisingly, it's ignored by Israel's enemies in order to deflect from the obvious conversation that would follow, and ignored as well by proponents and advocates of a strong and secure Israel for reasons which boggle the mind. Most likely, because it exposes the ugly truth, the reality that they simply want to wish away. Imagine going to the court of public opinion and choosing to hide the very evidence of your enemy's guilt. This is insanity on the part of the Israelis. So, to cut to the chase in making our point, let's offer one important quote right now. It was spoken by Mahmoud Abbas, president of the Palestinian Authority, when he offered this. "We kept our promise and adhered to the charter, namely the liberation of all of Palestine and fighting for the return of all the refugees to their homes in Palestine." And he continued, "There will be no compromises on the obligations of the charter." Now, that comment made for domestic consumption throughout the Arab media is quite clear. It is unambiguous. It calls for the liberation of all of Palestine. It makes one realize that only an ignoramus cannot or will not recognize the obvious. Is anyone paying attention? Is anyone listening? The prospect of real peace with someone dedicated to your demise is as realistic as Vincent van Gogh regrowing his ear. And yet here we are trying to convince anyone who would listen of the obvious. And we'll do so again today. While most ears remain deaf and most brains remain numb. I've often quoted that brilliant thinker, Eric Hoffa. "We lie the loudest when we lie to ourselves." Okay, let me throw as much at you as we can before time expires. Here's a story from 3 days ago. Palestinian Authority headline: "The terrorist murders are martyrs fulfilling the task of Islam." So Palestinian television on September 23rd, mind you, comes out with a quote that basically says anyone who dies fighting the Israelis is automatically a martyr, shahid. And they move on, of course, to the world to come. Yes, the 72 virgins. Little do they know, they all look like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It's truly remarkable that on December 31st of 2023, mind you, almost 2 months after the massacre of October 7th, an official PA daily, Al Hayat Al Hajadida, came out and basically said that the PA, Palestinian Authority, celebrates not only those people who died killing Jews on October 7th, but also those Arabs who've taken to ramming cars into innocent civilians in Israel and killing them as well. And in the broadcast, they actually listed some of the names of some of the people who've been martyred in the name of Islam for having killed Jews. Are we surprised? Of course we're not surprised. Of course we're not surprised. But let me mention Fatah again. I've done this before, and I'm sure I'll do it again, because you need to know. Fatah, synonymous with the Palestinian Authority, Fatah as a movement was founded in 1959. It became the dominant force in Palestinian politics especially after the Six-Day War, 1967. Fatah, formerly known as the Palestinian National Liberation Movement, is a nationalist and social democratic political party, it's what they call themselves. It's the largest faction of the Confederated Multi-Party Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO, which is never called by its name, but it still exists. For cosmetic reasons, we refer to it as the Palestinian Authority. It sounds better. Mahmoud Abbas, president of the Palestinian Authority, is chairman of Fatah. Fatah is generally considered to have a strong involvement in the what they call the revolutionary struggle of the past and also in maintaining the struggle, euphemism, for the war against Israel. Of course, Fatah was always associated quite openly with Yasser Arafat until his death in 2004 of AIDS, when Farouk Kudumi succeeded him, and so on and so forth, and finally Abbas. Since Arafat's death of AIDS, factionalism within the ideologically diverse movement had become more apparent. 2006, votes in Gaza. 2007, Hamas takes over Gaza. And there's fighting between Hamas and Fatah, which actually served Israel well for a while because the very concept of a two-state solution required Palestine to be established as a confederation of Gaza and the West Bank, or as we should refer to it, as the Palestinian, as Judea and Samaria. Fatah is ignored, despite its protestations of support for October 7th. But let me go back and read you something from a year before, October 26, 2022. Here's the headline. I did this once before a couple of months ago, but the headline remains troubling, no less today, even more so than before. Headline, Fatah boasts 7,200 terror attacks against Israel. Under the name of the PA in 2002 alone, and, I'm continuing with the headline, and criticizes Hamas for not attacking. So here it is in October of 2022, October 26th. Fatah criticizes Hamas for not doing enough in its war against the Jewish people. And it goes on to list, and they actually list proudly, that there were 72 shooting attacks in 1 month. They list a month. They actually quantify this war against the Jews. They quantify the war to destroy Israel. This is what they do. And I'm going to jump ahead because there's too much to be said and not enough time. I'm going to read you a couple of headlines. So what's the solution? A two-state solution, we're told by Blinken and too many other idiots to count. The two-state solution means that Hamas is no longer able to govern in Gaza. Let's turn it over, the United States insists, in fact, demands of Israel. Let's give it to the PA, to Fatah, which actually boasts about killing on their social media, on their Facebook, in their newspapers, on the radio. They boast about killing Jews. So what do we have here? Listen to this. Insanity. Group of Jewish Democrats in the U.S. House slam Netanyahu for rejecting a Palestinian state. That was 8 days ago. I would read you the article. Time doesn't allow. Another one. U.S. Jewish leaders push Biden to include moves towards two states in a Saudi normalization. This was, by the way, 2.5 weeks before October 7th. And so the question needs to be asked is, did they change their mind after the atrocities of October 7th? And we know the answer. Asked and answered, they did not. In fact, it's remarkable that the world more strongly supports the push for two-state solution after the massacres of October 7th. And the Saudis, and by the way, the Saudis, who everybody thinks is a moderate, friendly partner, potential partner for Israel, they still do not recognize Israel. The maps, by the way, manufactured in Saudi Arabia, don't have Israel on the map. It's a place called Palestine. And I have talked about before, and I will talk about in the future, the Arab Peace Initiative, that used to be called the Saudi Peace Initiative of 2002, which lays the necessary things that Israel must do which is basically suicide, in order for the Saudis to recognize it. The only reason the Saudis and the Israelis have actually met, and they still continue to meet, is because of this shared nemesis called the Islamic Republic of Iran. And you need to understand that. But the worst part of it are the demands made by the American administration, the Blinken-Biden administration. Now, we know that Biden is semi-comatose, fast on his way to being fully comatose. It's Biden who's employed his surrogates, who are actually his puppeteers, who are doing the most damage in the Middle East. This notion of the United States giving, by the way, the report came out yesterday in Israel that the Biden administration, the Blinken foreign policy, has basically decided that they would hold back giving the level of weapons that Israel needs to prosecute this war, that they would do a slow drip in order for Israel to need the United States more and for Israel to de-escalate. Which reminds us, by the way, of what Henry Kissinger told Nixon in 1973 with the Yom Kippur War. When Israel needed arms at the time because the Soviets were heavily arming the Egyptians, he hesitated. Kissinger hesitated. And he explained to Nixon, don't give them weapons yet. Let them bleed. Let the Israelis bleed a little. Because if they bleed a little, they're going to need us more. Moral war, huh? It's a perversion. The only moral war Israel can fight, and Israel should not be going to the International Court of Corruption and speaking in behalf of a moral war that has been prosecuted against the Arab, by allowing its enemies to live, including all the so-called civilians who have supported wholeheartedly the massacres, Israel is not doing anything which is moral. It's doing something which is immoral. We've spoken about that before. We will continue to speak about it in the future. Well, once again, we've gotten to the end of the show, and there's so much more to be said, and it will be said. I've said to someone, and they responded affirmatively, apparently it's been scientifically proven, the fastest 60 minutes of the week. We're still left with the most important question of all. How can so many seemingly intelligent people be on the wrong side of right? There is extant an absolute gullibility that seems to underscore the foolish, delusional beliefs that coexistence, or even more absurd, peace with an implacable enemy is somehow attainable if only we engaged in greater appeasement, if only the right buttons, as I've said, were pushed, if only the right concessions were made, if only we would suspend reality and the truth. Next Sunday, February 4th, Attorney William Wolf will interview Professor Carl Goldberg. The subject, how the Muslims employ language as a weapon of war against Israel and the insanity of the West to allow it. That's next Sunday on Middle East Radio Forum. It's a show that you certainly don't want to miss. Until then, we stand strongly behind Israel and trust that Israel shows no mercy in eliminating its enemies, and that it'll stand up and resist Western pressures to show restraint. No more ceasefires in the war against the savage. Yes, compromising with evil is indeed tantamount to surrendering to it. Israel can never say that we won the war against Hamas on a future broadcast of Middle East Radio Forum if we ever have to ask that question, does Gaza still exist? Professor Paul Eidelberg, my youngest son's godfather, almost a generation ago, observed this insane truism. Israel is asked to demonstrate restraint in the face of an unrestrained Arab assault on the Jews. It is insanity. And as such, he also postulated the following. If Arab terrorists knew in advance that Israel's government would wreak upon them a degree of vengeance or loss far exceeding any Arab gains in killing Jews, Arab terrorism would soon cease. Well, Israel didn't do that, and they got October 7th. The very reason that October 7th happened. It must be done now. We must destroy Gaza, turn it into an ashtray. Otherwise, the lessons of history are once again lost. As we sign off, we ask you to remember that the only people mad at you for speaking the truth are those living a lie. Keep speaking it, as we do for 60 Minutes every Sunday on Middle East Radio Forum. This is Mayor Jolovitz wishing you well, thanking you for joining us. Let's go, Brandon.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.